James chapter 1, James chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 27. Continuing our series, Brother Knows Best. I keep always wanting to say Father Knows Best because that was the TV show I grew up with. But this series is about the teachings of James, the half-brother of Jesus. And James, who was one of the early church leaders, was one who grew up with Jesus, and at first thought he was a little out of his mind, but later on became a leader in the early church and wrote this little book called the Book of James that is so incredibly powerful. So we're looking at his advice that he probably learned from watching his brother and looking at how it applies to our lives today. And as a matter of fact, last week we talked about just one aspect, and that aspect that we talked about last week is that God wants us to listen. And we talked all last week about the importance of listening to God speak, and we talked about the song, Word of God Speak, and it's very important that we understand that God wants to speak to us, and that we need to learn to listen to Him. But this morning, we're going to go a little different direction. James, after teaching them the importance of listening, he's going to talk about the importance of obeying. Been there and done that. There goes Bill Ashburn. I guess you didn't hear that part. But isn't it good to hear a kid cry? Not her. It's probably not good for her, but anyway. James this morning is going to change things, and he's going to say, okay, it's great that you want to hear, but I want to talk to you about something else. So let's look, beginning with verse 22 through the end of the chapter. This is heavy stuff. This is not easy stuff to preach, because it's so hard to do and it's so important. But in verse 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, and I like this part, but doing it. And it's the only time that word is used in the New Testament, and it basically is talking about it becomes your lifestyle doing it. He says, doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And then it gets a little practical, and after talking about the importance of doing, he gives some examples of what it is to be spiritual. He says, if anyone considers himself religious, and get this, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. That's pretty heavy. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You see, James is going to go from just listening, and I love that song that we played last week that said, Word of God Speaks. I love that song because it gives you the desire that we should have. We should want God to speak to our lives this morning and tomorrow and all during the week. But it's more than just wanting God to speak. There should be action that follows. And so the first thing I want you to see, which almost sounds like a contradiction of last week, but is this: listening is not the goal. It's extremely important. You can't get to the goal without listening, but listening is not the goal. As a matter of fact, if you just listen, you'll never reach the goal. It's not about just listening, even though it is important for us wanting God to speak to us. It's more than just listening. As I was looking at this passage, he's talking about there should be more than just hearing a sermon. There should be more than just reading your Bible and having a quiet time or listening to a sermon on a podcast. It's more than just listening. It's about doing. And if you just listen, you lose all the benefit. I mean, if you perhaps like a sermon, as soon as you walk out the door, you lose the benefit of it if you liked it, if you don't do it. It's interesting that a lot of times that we don't realize that just listening and somehow thinking that's our religious duty only is deceiving ourselves, because if you just listen, you are deceiving yourself. You can become a sermon taster who has never tasted the Word of God, the grace of God. You can be a... one guy described it, if you just listen only, it's kind of like auditing a class in college. I used to think, man, it'd be really neat to audit a class. I could learn all of this stuff in college, and yet I wouldn't have to have a test on it. And I wish I could audit all my classes. There's only one problem. You never graduate if you audit. There's no accountability in auditing a class. And yet, many times we treat listening to a sermon or a Bible study or even reading our Bible as auditing a class with God. We hear it, we learn it, but it doesn't affect us. We taste the sermon, but we don't necessarily taste the grace of God. And that is the tragedy. You can be a person who listens to lecture, but not a follower of Jesus Christ. It is perfectly possible to be a professional listener and not be saved. That's the scary thing. James gives an illustration of this in verses 23 through 24. He talks about, it's like a man who looks into a mirror. And it's kind of funny because typically men don't look at mirrors. And, look at my hair this morning and every week. I don't do a good job in the mirror. So I don't even remember. The only way I know what I even have on is if I look down and look at it, because I stand in front of the mirror and I don't ask the mirror. I ask the mirror next to me, do I look okay? That is no, I said that this morning, didn't I? Do I look okay? And she'll say yes or no. And she does say no, because sometimes this is the third shirt I brought out last night, the other two got shot down. It's a whole different sermon and story. But in that day, they didn't have glass mirrors. They had like highly polished bronze or silver instruments that they used as mirrors. And if you got the light right and it was polished right, you could get your reflection. And so he says the person who just hears is like the person who gets the reflection and sees it, but they leave and they forget what they saw. And he's saying that's the way it is with the person who listens only. Whether you're reading your Bible or whether you're listening to a message or a Bible study, it is absolutely worthless to you unless you do it. The point is, a person who looks at God's Word, even if it is carefully and accurately done, but does not apply it to their life, it's deception. You see, Scripture, when we look at it properly, should lead to change. And my challenge to you this morning, I beg you, not for my sake, it's not really going to make much difference in my life except how it affects the church and the community. But my challenge to you is don't be a sermon taster. As a matter of fact, you are the church, and when you go out of here, they will tell whether you listened or you didn't listen. So that's the first point. Don't just listen. That's not the calling. But the second thing is this. Listening plus doing equals blessing. It says, the last part of verse 22 says, do what it says. He says, if you just listen, you're deceived. He says, do what it says. And then he illustrates it in verse 25. He says, but the man who looks intently, and literally it means the man who bends over and really looks seriously in the mirror, which I don't think I've ever done with a mirror hardly, but the man who looks into the Word of God, he calls it the perfect law. He says, that gives freedom. He says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, making a lifestyle of doing it, what does he say? He will be blessed in what he does. Now, in our culture, the word blessing is used all the time. You know, you even see it on TV. I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. What does that mean? Well, it's an inner joy, an inner happiness that comes from Jesus Christ when you're in a right relationship with Him. And so you can be blessed when you're having terrible times. We only use it in our culture typically when things are going well for. I'm so blessed. But you're also so blessed when things are bad because of your relationship to Jesus Christ. And so he's talking to them about the importance of doing God's Word. And when you do God's Word and when you continually obey God's Word, there is freedom. Freedom. People think, oh, God's just trying to ruin my life. There's no freedom in obedience. No, there is freedom in obedience. There is blessing in obedience. And he says, we must obey God's Word and we must become doers of God's Word, and we're called to demonstrate by the way we live, not by the way we talk, that we truly are a Christ follower. We are known by our actions, people, or inaction. And this is so important because I think most of us here would really like to be blessed. I mean, everybody wants to be blessed, but do we want to listen and obey? Really, another word I like in there as well is the word apply. We give you a sermon outline, and let me tell you what. The sermon outline is worthless if you don't apply it. And it's just to kind of help you remember the principles. My hope is the Holy Spirit will convict you of what you need to do. And it's different for everybody in this room what God wants us to do. And He never quits speaking. Regardless of your age, whether you're a young kid or a teenager or an adult, God is always speaking. The question is whether we are listening and whether we are obeying. And the most important of anything when God's Word is preached or taught or read is that we obey. We apply it. And I don't know if you do that. I really don't know. I only know what I have to do. And I don't know if anything I said last week caused your week to be a little different, a little better, a little worse. But my hope would be is that God's Word would change the way that you see life. Doing plus obeying brings blessing. the man or the woman who hears and obeys is blessed, and not only that, please hear me, they find freedom. Freedom from religion, freedom from the world, they find freedom to obedience of Christ. There is a difference. You see, we live in a world that says if you live for Christ, if you obey Him, you've thrown your life away. You can't have fun. And yet, James, the half-brother of Jesus, says it's through obedience that you find freedom. Jesus said it this way. He said to the Jews who were following Him, and a lot of those Jews didn't get it. They just followed Him. They were auditing His lectures. But in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, He said to the Jews who had believed in Him, not all of them believed in a believing way that leads to salvation, but to the ones that did, He said this, if you hold to My teaching, what does that mean? If you obey, if you hold, you don't just hear it, you hold on to it. He says, if you do that, you are really My disciple. If you don't apply what He teaches, if you don't listen, obey, and your life is made up of doing it your way and doing it your way as much as you want, did you really believe? See, if you're a believer and you begin to obey God's Word, He speaks to you, and I believe with all my heart He speaks to every one of you. The question is, do we obey what He says? There's a lot of you that may not be enjoying your Christian life, and you may be thinking it's not very good, and so you live like the devil because it's not very good. But you'll never enjoy it until you start listening to Him and obeying and applying what He says to your life at any stage of life. I think that's why so many give up on the church. I think that's why so many don't want to come. They don't want to listen. That's why they don't read their Bibles. Why? Well, I don't want to audit the class. It's just easier not to hear. But see, hear me carefully. When you choose to not obey the teachings of Jesus Christ, you become a slave to sin. And you have no freedom. Oh, you may try to convince yourself that you have freedom, but if you sin and you choose to live a life of sin, you're a slave to sin. But if you choose to obey Jesus Christ, you become a slave to righteousness. And that's what He wants, that there is freedom, there is joy, there is blessing in doing God's will, not just listening to it. Let me give you an example. I got up this morning, and I was just looking through the news and on my laptop or my iPad, and an article caught my eye that just was so cool. You know, there's a game going on tonight in Georgia, right? Super Bowl. Do you know, and I found this so incredibly interesting, do you know that Chick-fil-A has one of their stands in the Atlanta Dome that they have? And do you know it is never open on Sunday? The biggest game of the year in athletics, and Chick-fil-A will be closed because it is on a what? Sunday. The interesting thing, and you know, Truett Cathy grew up in Georgia, and one of the things he wanted to have for his employees and for his own life was a day off. And a day off to go to church. And because, and you can go to church on other days other than Sunday. I mean, we used to have a Saturday night church, and you know, but Truett wanted his employees and himself to be able to go to church. So he made a rule they'd never be open on Sunday. And it was out of a conviction that that's what God wanted him to do. Now, I'm not saying you ought to close if you're open on Sunday, if you have a business, but you need to ask yourself a question: how can I still worship in that situation? And I started thinking about, I like Chick-fil-A. Have you ever been to a Chick-fil-A that's not busy? I mean, the one in West Monroe was just always busy. And there have been times on vacation and different times where we've been in another town where there's a Chick-fil-A and we get through and we're hungry and we think, we want to go eat a Chick-fil-A. And we drive up and then we, ah, crud. He loves to worship. And no, it reminds me, it's so funny. It reminds me every time I pull into their parking lot, I just kind of laugh because I'm like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. You know fast food has to be open on Sunday. We had ice cream stores. They were open 7 days a week. But old Truett's like, no, I ain't going to do that. I think he is, I've got how many billions the company is worth now. I think God's blessed him. And I think on Sunday, they'll be in the Super Bowl and they'll be walking around and they'll walk by the Chick-fil-A stand that they open it up as something else on Sundays because he's never there. And I thought, that's a pretty good illustration of blessing. And that's what God said to him. Remember, listening plus doing equals blessed. Freedom. And you may not have freedom in your life right now. That freedom comes from obeying and living and listening to Jesus Christ. Not just auditing. Well, then you get to the third thing, and this is really the point too. He says, acceptable religion. Acceptable religion leads to life change. Verse 26, if anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is what? Worthless? Ooh. Then he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Three things. We must control our tongue. We must. You don't have to know Greek to understand that verse. Religious is a word that literally refers to external duties that we do. It can be going to church. It can be saying prayers. It can be different ceremonies we attend. But what James is saying, that is all ruined. Going to church is all ruined. Going to Bible study is all ruined if you can't control your mouth. Your words mess up. Here's the truth. Your words mess up your religion. Your words coming out of your mouth reflect what is in your heart. That's scary. James sees an undisciplined tongue as serious of a sin problem that you can have. And here's a scary thought. The tongue is one of the most reliable indicators of true spirituality. What you say. Do you know the average person will speak 18,000 words a day? One-fifth of your life is spent talking. So it makes sense that what you say reflects what's in here. Think about the next time you pass on bad news, gossip, or slander. Think about that. Question, do you have a transformed tongue? He says, keep a tight rein. It's a picture of a horse with a bridle that bridle controls. He says, listen, change the way you talk. It's serious. Out of the 18,000 words you spoke yesterday, how many of them were kind? how many of them were encouraging, how many of them were praiseworthy to God. I mean, I didn't make this rule up. That's tough. It's change. One of the ways you notice change in a person's life is by what they talk about and how they talk. Second thing, we must take care of the needy. He talks about in those verses to look after widows and orphans. He's not talking about just checking on them. He's talking about look after them, physical, spiritual. That is not my job. It's our job, the church. You are the church. You are a temple. Look after carries the idea of caring. Now, who were the neediest people in the world at that time? It was widows and orphans. They didn't have government programs to take care of them. To be an orphan was basically a death sentence or at best a criminal life because you had to live, you had to survive. There were no life insurance policies for the widows that husbands died. If they didn't have any kids, they were destitute. But the biblical principle is not just orphans and widows, it's to anybody who has need. Anybody that has need. To take care of them, to check on them, to see how they're doing. That's our responsibility. I remember several years ago, we were in Dallas, and Julie taught with a young lady, a single mom. I thought about this yesterday. I can't remember what she had to do, but Julie, being the spiritual person that she is, volunteered me to keep her little girl. We're not talking about... Huh? Her brother was having arm surgery. She was a teacher, single mom, who basically Julie helped come to know Christ, and her life was changed. And so my wife found out that she was wanting to go. Her brother was a pitcher for Texas Tech, and he was having, I believe, Tommy John surgery or something, and she wanted to be there for her brother. And so Julie volunteered me, because I'm sure I had the heart to do it, but she volunteered me to keep that little girl who's, if I remember, I was in diapers. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I want to do that. Julie, I'm going to kill you later. And I started the whole time, this is the honest truth. I just prayed she wouldn't have a dirty diaper. Just pray. You know, and maybe probably didn't change her wet diapers. You know, was hoping she wouldn't have him when didn't check. But you know, I thought about that. If I couldn't do that to help her out, that speaks volumes about me in a bad way. She had a need. She had a brother she loved. She cared about him. And I was off on Fridays. And so I kept that little girl scared to death the whole time. Even though I'd had a little girl, I was out of practice. But who around you needs you to care about them? Not just to check on them, but to check on them. There's two different ways to check on people. That's not my calling, that's our calling. If you call yourself a Christ follower. A totally redeemed life reaches out to others who are in need. That's just biblical. And then the last thing. We must not be polluted by the world. There's two voices that are constantly going to be trying to get your attention and talk to you. One of them is the voice of the world, and the other one is the voice of God through Scripture. There's always two voices. In John 14, verse 30, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. In other words, the prince of worldly thinking is not Jesus. It's Satan. The world has a system of beliefs that are not ours or should not be ours. And so we need to understand that one of our responsibilities is to make sure that the world hasn't influenced the way we see life. Paul warned the Colossians in Colossians 2, verse 8, and I'd warn every single one of you the same thing. Paul said this, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world." There is a system of thinking out there, all across our world, that should run contrary to your thinking. The one behind it is not Jesus. It's Satan. And that's why, you know, I just grieve sometimes, because the voices out there, you have a choice, but will you choose Christ? Because he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world." And then he says this, "rather than Christ." You see, you can find a voice in the world that can support what you want to do wrong. There is somebody out there, some authority, some educated person, some person that has a degree, that will convince you that you can do as you want. It may be science, it may be politics. There's somebody out there that can convince you. Here's what you better be sure of, though. Is it Christ? What? I think the greatest danger in the world, people, is what takes place up in here when we listen to the wrong voices. I believe with all my heart Jesus speaks. The question is, do I listen? Don't come to me and say, "Well, so-and-so says," or this or that. Doesn't matter to me. I have one allegiance that I pledged my life to, and it's Jesus Christ. I can love you, but I don't have to agree with you. When I read the paper, I read it through that understanding, and I don't get mad when people don't think like I think. How could they if they don't know Christ? John warns in 1 John 2:15 and 16. This is a pretty strong warning. He says, "Do not love the world." Why? You can't love God and love the world at the same time. You're going to have to make a choice. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your soul." In other words, your whole being is to love Jesus, to love God. You have a choice, because out there Jesus is competing with what the world. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Believers, Christ followers, whatever you want to call yourself, Christians, follow the right voice. Follow the right voice. Make sure it's Christ. Follow Christ. Your religion means nothing if you're following the wrong person. See, I look at James and I go, golly, he's so tough. Because I've heard so many people who think they know the Bible that love to use their tongue to destroy the very people that he created. You have a choice. You have a choice as soon as you... I want you to think about this today as you leave, as you go through today. Are you auditing God, or are you following Him? That's your choice. Let's pray. Father...